myself. Yeah, country loved. Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, spacious sky.
Ray Charles and America the Beautiful on this Tuesday, September the 11th. Today marks the 11th anniversary, of course, of the tragic events of September 11th. Today is a day to remember, to reflect, and to honor those whose lives were cut short. It's interesting, of the nearly 3,000 fatalities at the World Trade Center, more than 400 Long Islanders who worked in Manhattan died on that day. And, of course, the memories still haunt us. I think we all remember where we were and what we were doing very specifically on this fateful day. And, in fact, the weather out there today looks remarkably like it looked on that morning of September 11th, 11 years ago. This morning, in addition to our special guests, we're opening up the phone lines to hear from you. If you'd like to share your thoughts, your memories, perhaps a dedication, even a music request for someone you love, please call us. The phone lines are open now until noon today, 800-394-8830. And good morning, I'm Bonnie Grice. We begin this morning by welcoming the mayor of Southampton, Mark Epley, who's a good friend of all of us here in the community. He also happens to be a former Navy man, and he's going to share his thoughts this morning and talk a little bit about what the town of Southampton has planned for this day. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Bonnie, how are you?
I'm fine, and we're welcoming you not as a politician, if you will. Everybody's making a big deal about how there are no politicians speaking, but as a person, a politician is also a person, as a human being. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing on this day?
I do. I was at work, my office. I'm a part-time politician. The mayor in the village of Southampton is actually a full part-time job, okay? But my main job is an executive director at Seafield Center. So, you know, we had 80 beds. Our place is almost full.
And
Seafield's Alcohol and Drug Treatment Facility, located in West Hampton Beach. It's an inpatient program. We have an outpatient programs also. And I was actually at work, when the first plane hit, and somebody had said that the plane hit the Twin Tower, and I called my wife up, and I said, turn the TV on, and somebody said that the plane had hit the Twin Tower, and she's like, no, I didn't see anything, and she flipped it back on, and she said, yeah, a plane did hit, and she was watching as the second plane went in. And
were you able to see this?
No, I didn't see it actually. But so I pulled the staff together and we talked about it and then went down in our lecture hall area and turned the TV on to see what was going on, and we actually watched the towers fall. Now, the difficult piece was that we had almost a full house, almost 80 people in treatment, who were, sick and suffering individuals who were trying to recover from their addiction. And, they going through detox, their separation from families and all of this stuff. So we had to bring the entire population in of all the staff and all the of our clients and talk to them about this.
And how did you do that?
Well,
how did you begin?
Very straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just the way it is. This is what happened. At this time, a plane hit. This time, a plane hit. This time, a plane hit the Pentagon. We had planes that went down, and the towers fell. And
facts.
And that's it. And, he said, look, well, we're going to leave the TV on so you can watch the TV all day, because normally we save that for certain times during the daytime. And, you know, he said, we'll open the phone lines up. You know, there's not great communication in and out of the city. You know, 50% of our population that we treat comes from the five boroughs. And a couple of people that were in treatment that had offices in the Twin Towers. You know, they were obviously concerned about wanting to get in touch with people they worked with and family members. And, you know, the trains had shut down, so there was really no traffic flow. So it was a day that, you know, I have a cousin who was stationed at the Pentagon. He's in the Navy at the time, who actually happened to be had gone to Japan on, you know, as part of his duty for that the week before. But his offices were in the area of where the plane was hit, so it hit the Pentagon. So, you know, kind of hit home with all of us. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is reach out to find out, you know, where's my family at?
Yeah, first thing, right? Yeah. Did you know anyone personally, Mark, who was involved?
I didn't know. I knew somebody, a good friend of mine in the fire department, who actually survived being hit by a body.
Oh, my God.
And one of the very few individuals that was in the hospital. Yeah.
A body? Yeah. Because somebody who had jumped, because we heard so much about the people who were jumping.
So he's... You know, physically, you know, never really came back to full strength, and mentally he's had some challenges and stuff. So, but it's...
What about the person who jumped?
You know, I just, you know, you watch that, I just remember watching that and thinking, you know, how horrible that choice must be.
Yeah.
You know, to fall out of the tower or... burned to death like that, and it just, I can't even imagine. And you know, these brave souls that basically got up that morning just to go to work, whether it was to, you know, cook a meal or you know, go to Cantor Fitzgerald, or you know, to serve their country or whatever. You know, people, innocent souls, lost their lives, and since then, you know, it's important to recognize that, you know, we went into a war in response to this, that, you know, that men and women have given up their lives fighting a war because of this, right? You know, and that also to recognize the number of other casualties associated with the individuals who responded to do the cleanup and the body recovery and the health issues associated with those individuals.
Well, now they've announced that they've finally recognized
recognizing
58 forms of cancer that they will cover.
Yeah, and it's you know, and it's so many people, and so it's just, you know, 6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows somebody, you know, and it's just it's kind of like, it is the domino effect, and it just keeps going over and over again, and it's one of these events in our lives that, you know, we're 11 years separated from it, and it's still as fresh in our mind today as the day that it happened. And and people are still impacted by this. Mm. And, you know, in the treatment side, in the substance abuse treatment side, I've seen the kids that have come in that have been negatively impacted by this, and who've had lost family members and never really developed good coping mechanisms on how to handle that. So a lot of anger associated with that.
Mm-hmm. Are those your feelings? Is it mostly anger that you feel, Mark, remembering this?
You know,
it's got to be a mix.
It's a mix. I mean, there's anger that someone or a group of people hate the United States and our way of life. And, so much that they would do something like that. They would sit down and actually plan out an attack to murder people. Mm. And that's what they did. Mm. Innocent people. And to me, that angers me. You know, and I'm sad that my kids are growing up in a world where, You know, you have to take a 3-second look around you and say, is there an empty bag someplace? Is there an empty box somewhere? You know, you find yourself.
We're always reminded that when we're in airports,
right,
train stations, anywhere. Yeah,
take
yeah.
your shoes off. You know, why do you have to take my shoes? You take your shoes
right.
off because of the shoe bomber.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and you watch people get patted down at the airport, and you think, you know, why is this 85-year-old woman getting patted down? You know, that's just. But it's the world that we live in. You know, in the village. Last week, we actually had a canister that was found somebody had left.
Right.
And
where was it found?
It was found over by the wall bombs area, and it turned out to be a somebody's leftover lobster dinner. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but it just tells you what the state of mind is, and especially as we were approaching 9/11 today, as we were approaching today. Everybody is on high alert, you know, because you wonder who is the next person to say, you know, I'm going to make a statement, whether it's walking into a movie theater or walking into a school or walking into a mall or walking into, you know, a military base and I'm going to make a statement. Mm. And, you know, it just is, it makes you take, I'm saddened by that, you know, and I mean, we've always had people throughout the history that have done these kind of things, but it seems to be just kind of compounded since 9/11.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
11 years later, hard to believe, too, right?
It's really hard to believe.
So what does the town of Southampton have planned?
Well, we have at the school tonight, the field hockey game, at halftime of the field hockey game, the Southampton High School has organized a... a moment of silence, really, on the field, and the fire department's going to be involved, and we're going to ask people to come down, and first we want people to come out and support the local high school teams. It's homecoming week, and so there's a lot of events that are going on this week at the high school, and followed by a parade that's going to occur on Saturday, and so a lot of good spirit built into this, and then. You know, we're going to have a moment of silence, and you know, some people are going to speak, and you know, I think it'll be a good moment. I know that President Obama had ordered all flags at half staff today, and in recognition of I think you can call it Patriot Day or Patriot.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
So.
And isn't it remarkable? The weather looks almost the same.
It's in the temperature, the sky. You know, it's an eerie feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think back to those people that were getting up on a Tuesday, going to work like they were normally doing what they had to do to, you know, to put food on their table and a roof over their head and put their kids through college and pay their mortgages and car payments and all of that. And, you know, in an instant, their life was shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair. And
it's not fair. That's all we can
just
say.
Not
it's just
fair.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things in this world that there is no explanation for. And you know, we say it's hey, look, it's above my pay grade. And why those guys did that? That's above my pay grade. I just don't. I don't get it. I don't think that way.
Yep.
You know,
don't.
I'm not, and I didn't raise my children to think that way. My wife and I just can't. You know, I just can't imagine. Somebody hating someone so much. And that's what it is. It's hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a hate for a country and people and all that, you know, that you would want to go and do that. I just can't.
It's hard to fathom.
It really is.
Well, and the effects of it. I mean, it's still hard to fathom the statistics of the nearly 3,000 and then almost 400 of those were from Long Island,
right.
in some part of Long Island. Were there were first responders as well from Long Island, right, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, we had the village had sent first responders there, members of our police department, members of the fire department, all responded to help and do whatever. Mike Medio, who's a sergeant now, was a canine officer at the time. He and his dog went and recognized the work that they'd done. You know, it was a lot of...
Did he lose his life?
No, Mike Medio's, he's still here.
Oh, good.
Mike's a friend of mine.
Yeah, good.
Mike's still alive, yeah.
Yeah.
And kicking. So, but he, you know, he was a first responder down on, he was a responder to help in the recovery process. And, you know, the volume of first responders, the firefighters, and we actually, our memorial in the village, if you'll go to the Hampton Road Firehouse, The memorial that we have in front of that firehouse is a 9/11 memorial. It's a piece of steel from one of the towers. And Jason Perima, who's an architect and also a volunteer fireman, designed it. The number of bricks that are in there represent one brick for every individual who lost their life that day. There's a 343 is the number that you'll when you drive by. 343, the number of firefighters that lost their lives that day, and you know, it's a really touching memorial. People go by all the time, leave flowers there, and
How did Southampton Village get a piece of the World Trade Center?
Well, Mayor Romanowski was before me actually reached out to Mayor Giuliani's office and was able to. And they come here frequently and have a house here in the village, and they were able to get a piece of steel and create the memorial.
I think you mentioned that the Giuliani's come out here and so many of the Bloombergs as well. And I think the East End has a really special and close tie to New York City. Don't we? We feel that. I mean,
we do,
because we have people who divide their time between all the time. They're flying over
us all the time. Yeah, they're flying into us. They're flying over
right,
us.
Right, right.
You know, look. The reality is that Eastern Long Island is an incredibly special place. We have the most beautiful beaches in the world. We have some of the great pieces of farmland. Our vineyards, our potato fields, our corn, pumpkins, and Hank in his pumpkin town.
Pumpkin town, yeah. Starting up.
Exactly. So, but we have a lot of, a great, rich history out here. Part of why we live out here and have such a beautiful area is because we do have the second homeowners. A lot of them are from the Manhattan area. And have second homes, and they come out here on the weekends. They spend time out here in the summertime. It's a break for them. They like to come out, participate in the community. They are very philanthropic. They support all of our local causes out here. Our school system, all you have to do is go and see the upgrade in the school system, the improvements in the ball fields, and realize that because of the strength of our tax base. And that we have out here is we have a lot of very special things.
Yeah.
So, and that's supported by, local people working hard and second homeowners that want to see a beautiful place.
Well, speaking of which, too, we're going to welcome a little bit later on someone, a representative from the Southampton Hospital. Because they're beginning a new bereavement group series there. And I thought, how appropriate on this day to talk with the woman who's going to be leading that, Jane Edelman. But, but Southampton Hospital, such good news happening on the East End. It's quite amazing.
Well, I tell you, Bob Schallner, and I sing his praises at every single moment that I get. That guy has been such an incredible addition to this community. And, he stepped into a situation where not only financially they were having difficulties, but from a morale level, the quality of care, all of this stuff, all of those were issues that Southampton Hospital faced.
Right.
And he methodically rebuilt that place with an incredible team of people. And he'll be the first to tell you, I didn't do this alone. I just surrounded myself with good people. And he gave them all the opportunity to do that. And, you look at the Paulson Emergency Room and you go in and you realize the quality of care that's given there, the maternity ward, the work that's been done through
the breast cancer, Ellen Hermanson,
and the breast center. and Lucha's Angels, where they have created that special room for people that are in the final stages of battling that disease. And you know, what a great asset to this community. And it really, it starts at the top, and you get Peter Larson, who's the chair of the board, and Bob Schallner, who's the president, CEO.
Yep.
And he's just such a great person.
Truly.
Great.
Mayor Mark Epley from Southampton, and we thank you so much for coming in. Now, Mark, kind of some final words for our listeners on this day. We remember 9/11.
When you remember 9/11, that's what you do. You go home and you hug your kids, and you kiss your wife or your husband, and you thank God for every day that you have, because you just never know, and never forget the people that the innocent people that gave their lives, and always remember to support our troops as they go into battle to battle an enemy that hides, that is not a well-defined enemy, and it's those are some incredibly brave men and women. I served in the Navy, but I was never a combat veteran, and those guys who actually really put their lives on the line. We actually had at the grounds of the Parish Art Museum last week at Bob Woodruff and Chris Cuomo that came, and both of them had been in. And IED accidents.
Yeah.
And they talked about their experiences and their injuries associated with. I mean, Chris was you know, knocked around a little bit, but Bob Woodruff, and everybody knows what he went through.
Sure.
And you know, those people that have put their lives on the line like that, I just have such admiration, and we need to remember them. We need to support them. As we sit here today, somebody over there is under attack.
Yeah.
And that's what Bob Woodruff said. As we sit around here today, there's somebody over, an American in the Middle East representing this country, fighting for us, that's under attack right now.
Mm.
And we need to always remember that.
It was such a profound honor to play with the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team.
Yes.
You know, they were out here.
Yeah.
Remember, Mark, they brought the national 9/11 flag out here for the first time to be seen on Long Island. It was unfurled on the field of Sag Harbor's Meshashamuit Park.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. What a great organization, Wounded Warrior. And so we had a local guy, Kevin Harrington, who rode his bike across country to raise money for him. But these guys, and men and women who've been injured, and to go back and live life to the fullest, and you know, say, look, this is just it's an injury that I sustained, but I'm proud to be American, and I'm not going to let it stop me.
If you had a piece of music that you would suggest folks listen to on this day, what's in your mind? Nothing but some by Kiss, maybe.
I'm just thinking back
to the Polar
Kiss.
Plunge last year. I don't know. I wonder how you're going to outdo that one.
That is a good question.
Is it top secret? Is she already planning it?
No,
this is your wife, right?
Wife.
Thanks to your wife.
The unfortunate thing is the Polar Bear Plunge. When we got in the car to leave the Polar Bear Plunge, my wife said, I have no idea what we're going to do next year. We're in trouble.
Pearl Jam next. What would you play?
Oh.
Any Springsteen? I don't know. Did you have Springsteen up? Oh, great.
Yes.
Kyle's picked some
okay.
Springsteen. What have we got, right? What is this one? What is it?
The Rising.
There you go.
He wrote it in honor of 9/11, in fact. Yeah. God bless. Mark Epley, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Great
thanks
to
for having
you.
Me. Good seeing you,
and
too.
Who knows? There may be some really good news coming up in the future.
You know, I think that the future of this radio station and the Southampton Center for the Arts, which is the not-for-profit organization that we put together to replace the Parish Art Museum in that location, the exciting plans that we have for that. I feel very strongly that there's going to be a long-term relationship between the two.
Yes.
It benefits all of us, and I'm very excited about that.
So am I. And take a stress ball. It's our gift to you, Mark.
A stress ball, okay. I got a stress ball.
Mark Epley, thank you so much.
Bonnie.
All right.
Okay.
Remembering 9/11, we continue special edition of the Eclectic Cafe, WPPB. Support for WPPB comes from Peconic Landing, Long Island's first and only equity-based accredited life care retirement community. Homes are nestled on 144 acres with water views adjacent to a golf course. Peconic Landing offers the benefits of home ownership without the burdens of maintenance. Enjoy resort-style living and explore your passions. Information at peconiclanding.org or by phone 631-477-3800. Support for WPPB comes from Bridgehampton National Bank, committed to helping local businesses stay on top of their competitive challenges. With long-term relationships, local decision-making, and an understanding of the marketplace, BNB community lenders and branch managers help their customers succeed every day. Many success stories, one bank, Bridgehampton National Bank. Information is available at bridgenb.com.
You're listening to Conversations at the Cafe on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting.
Peut-être oui, peut-être non, ça m'est égal, de toute façon, à gauche, à droite, ça.
My blue Manhattan. She sang me like a child, how sweet. Falling rain on the street. It's you against me most days. It's me against you, though.
Thank you so much for joining us on this 11th anniversary of September 11th. And good morning, I'm Bonnie Grice. Again, the phone lines are open. Please call and share your story or dedication. Make a music request, especially for someone today. Let us know where you were and what your story was 11 years ago on this fateful day. 800-394-8830. I'm here with Kyle Lynch, our engineer. And by the way, I just want to mention that we were talking with Mark Epley, and there were first responders, of course, from the East End of Long Island on 9/11, 11 years ago. And one of them was Officer Vincent, or Vinny Dance, as he was known, Emergency Services Truck Number 6, who died on this day 11 years ago. So we pay homage to him and all of the first responders. Again, of the nearly 3,000 victims of this tragedy, almost 400 were from Long Island. And hence we have so many 9/11 ceremonies and activities and remembrances across the region, including tonight in East Hampton. The annual September 11th Memorial Observance will be held in East Hampton Village tonight at 6 o'clock. And joining us live on the line this morning is the East Hampton Town Supervisor, Bill Wilkinson. Bill, good morning.
Morning, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, it's. I was listening to Mark Epley, who's a colleague, obviously, out here on, at the end of Long Island, and it was great to hear his perspective on his reflections of today. It is, as you said so well, as you open your program, it is a day of reflection and a day of honor.
Indeed, and you know, everybody's making such a big deal, and probably appropriately so, that this isn't about politics today at all, right? So I ask you, Bill, I mean, where were you and what were you doing? I think we all remember exactly this date, right?
Unfortunately, we do. I was in California at the time. I happened to be running Human Resources and Labor Relations Worldwide for the Walt Disney Company. And I remember coming home from exercise early in the morning, of course, we're a little 3 hours earlier than here. And my in-laws had called from Texas and said, turn on the television. A plane just had gone into the World Trade Center. And that just started to unfoil into something that we now recognize as just a tremendous fracture of our innocence in this country. Mm. Never before had this country been invaded. You know, we obviously had Pearl Harbor, World War II, but this was something far different. And I think up until this day, we're still, trying to catch up with that innocence being violated that day.
You know, I think you mentioned the fracture of innocence. That phrase was used to describe or define the country after, for instance, John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and then Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. I think at that point, you know, we lost some innocence. But this was even beyond that in many ways. Yes,
it was so far beyond that because we were all personally touched. I grew up in New York City. And to see that happen and to just reflect, you know, in this day of media where there are so many media platforms and everything is presented to you as it is occurring, again, it just has a tremendous psychic impact. But what's good about this country and what's infamous about our nation is that we have resilience and we have resolve and we can bounce back from these things and we'll be a better nation for it.
Mm. And what do you have planned for the observance tonight, Bill?
Well, tonight we'll visit the Hook Mill again, as we do on an annual basis, and myself and the village mayor, Paul Rickenbach, will say a couple of words with the volunteer firefighters and military participation that is there. You know, if you take away something from this, it certainly is just a greater appreciation, as Mark had said, for our volunteer military. It's a greater appreciation for our police and our volunteer EMS and our volunteer firefighters and our volunteer ocean lifeguards and ocean rescue that go into harm's way on a daily basis. And so if we could take a positive return that thought on those volunteers and that military every time you see them and just give a thank you.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to go out of your way. I'm a former lieutenant with the 1st Infantry Division, but it was a time of Vietnam where our appreciation for the military was wanting. And so let's not make that mistake again. Let's understand that on a daily basis and an hourly basis, all these representatives of federal, state, and local agencies are there for us, and they take great pride in their work, and we should have as much pride in their efforts for us.
What's the significance of being by the Hook Mill for this remembrance, Bill?
I think it's a center point. It's a gathering point for both the village and the town, and it's a way of reflecting not only our history, the great progeny that we have here on the east end of Long Island, but also it's just a good jumping off point for the future.
Yeah.
And it's a great bucolic setting, and so we're better to honor those that have gone before us and sacrificed for us than there.
Bill Wilkinson, thank you so much. I know you got to go, and you have a busy day.
I'm sorry, I have a board meeting, Bonnie, but and thank you for giving me the time to appreciate all those. You know, we have a huge community out here of current firefighters, not only out here, but also in New York City, but a retiree community as well. And let's just give them a little thanks this day and honor all those that have served for this country and will be serving for this country. And I thank you, and I thank 88.3.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bill Wilkinson. We appreciate it. And yeah, you too as well. That's East Hampton Town Supervisor Bill Wilkinson. And again, the observance in East Hampton starts at 6 o'clock right in the shadow of the Hook Mill. And of course, there are ceremonies across the region. Center Reach tonight at 7 o'clock. The Center Reach Fire Department at South Washington Avenue will have a new monument unveiled by the Center Reach Fire District. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the Comac High School has a candlelight vigil and memorial dedication with the theme, Doing the Right Thing. The school district will unveil its newly completed September 11th memorial. This is in Comac at the high school, featuring a piece of steel from the World Trade Center towers. Hampton Bays at 6 o'clock tonight. The American Legion on Ponquag Avenue will hold a memorial ceremony at the post at 6 p.m., followed by a walk to the September 11th memorial at the elementary school, where a wreath will be placed. And in Montauk, they've already had their memorial this morning, from Montauk Point to the Ground Zero Memorial. It's a 130-mile walk between today and Thursday. They've already started. They started earlier this morning to Ground Zero, with stops along the way in East Hampton, Hampton Bays, Patchogue, Lindenhurst, Belmore, and others. That's incredible. It's a 130-mile walk that began earlier this morning from Montauk Point to the Ground Zero Memorial. And in Riverhead tonight at 7 o'clock, the corner of Sound Avenue and Thomas Kelly Memorial Drive in Riverhead, the public is invited to gather and remember lives lost. You're listening to a special edition of the Eclectic Cafe here on PPB, WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting.
The following is a public service announcement from 88.3 FM, listener-supported public radio. I wanted to stop using drugs. I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. With the support of recovering addicts, I realized I could stop using drugs. Recovery from drug addiction happens at NA meetings. Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help. 631-689-6262 or online at newyorkna.org.
I'm Brian Cosgrove. Please join me weekdays from noon to 4 here at 88.3 WPPB for the Afternoon Ramble, a mix of blues, country, soul, jazz, gospel, folk, and plenty of local singer-songwriters and bands. The Afternoon Ramble, weekdays from noon to 4 on 88.3 Peconic Public Broadcasting.
Support for WPPB comes from Personal Best one-on-one training studio, featuring custom individualized training sessions and nutritional counseling to improve performance, as well as massage therapy to speed recovery. Personal Best, located at 264 Butter Lane in Bridgehampton, is open year-round. Information at 631-725-8881 or on their blog at personalbestoneonone.com. Personal Best, where personal training isn't a sideline, it's their main line.
Might be shining on you tonight. Far, far away from you. On the dark side.
It's 10 minutes now before 10 o'clock, and again, a special edition of the Eclectic Cafe this morning. Conversations at the Cafe will include conversations with you. We would love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open if you want to share where you were 11 years ago on this fateful day. It's Tuesday, September 11th, and of course it was a Tuesday, September 11th in 2001 when the tragedy occurred. And so we're remembering, we're honoring those who we lost, remembering them, paying tribute, and reflecting on this day in whatever way you'd like. If you have a song request as well, a dedication, let us know at 800-394-8830. We hope to catch up next hour with Joe, our good friend Joe, and David from the Wounded Warrior Amputee Softball Team. We played them in Sag Harbor, and they were here in Center Reach as well earlier in the summer. And they unveiled on the field at Mishashamuit Park in Sag Harbor the National 9/11 flag, which hopefully will soon be housed at the National 9/11 Memorial. But in the meantime, we are welcoming a registered nurse, and she is the one who is heading up a bereavement series, a bereavement group for folks who have lost loved ones. And she is Jane Edelman of Southampton Hospital. Jane, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Appropriate day to have you today.
Yes, I guess.
This bereavement series actually began last year, you were telling me?
We began in the spring, and we ran a six-week series.
This past spring.
For people who have recently lost their loved one.
And you work in the palliative care
area. Yes, we have a palliative care program at Southampton Hospital, and I'm the clinical coordinator of the program.
And what does palliative care mean?
Well, a lot of people confuse it with hospice, and it's not hospice. Palliative care is just adjunct to what the physician is doing with the patient in any way that we can help in alleviating symptoms, making the patient more comfortable, supporting the family, just any way that we can make their journey through whatever illness they have just a little bit easier. Mm. And, of course, we do have, unfortunately, patients who die, and we decided that it was a good thing to do to start this bereavement group for the caregivers of these people that have died.
To focus on the caregivers. Mm-hmm. And why is that a concern?
Well, it's very traumatic, obviously, when you lose someone, and even if it's a long illness that they've been through, the journey's been long, and there's a void, there's an emptiness, and, you know, they need to be able to work through that. So the bereavement group just seemed to be the right thing to do.
Did you have anyone in your bereavement group, and I know it's fairly new, in the spring mm-hmm. you began it, that had a lost loved one from the events of 9/11 by chance?
You know, I don't know because I'm not part of the bereavement group. I just work with the two social workers that do the bereavement group and communicate with them on the times and the dates that we decide to do it. Actually, I don't know who the people were exactly. I do know some of the people that will be starting this next group, but their loss, I don't know what the details are.
Right. So you're the coordinator
of
this.
I'm the coordinator, right.
And you have two social workers who are involved in this?
Yes, very experienced social workers. One, Paula Peterson, is she's done extensive work with the works of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, if you know anything about her. I've been a nurse for over 30 years. I had to read that book of hers and know it very well in part of my nurse's training.
But What's the title of the book?
You know, I don't remember exactly the title, but she has a whole program on death and dying, and it's very, very good and very thorough. So Paula Peterson has that experience. Plus, she's an interfaith ordained minister. And then Amy Zachary, who is our other social worker, has counseled people for a very long time in HIV, alcohol, grief and loss, and she was part of the 9/11, actually working with people at that time in their grief.
Oh, wow. So mm-hmm. people out here they came to her.
Right. Well, she was, I think, in the city at that time.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, I mean, what would you say to somebody who came to you on today, for instance, and talked about their loss, 9/11? Is it different from another kind of tragic loss? Is this different from?
Well, I think basically no, but I think yes in some ways because of how it happened. It's a little different than your 85-year-old father who has been suffering from cancer for 6 or 7 years and finally passes versus your sister that's a few years older than you that loses her life in, you know, 9/11. So it is different, but it's still a loss.
Still a loss. Mm-hmm. And are there stages? We hear about stages of grief.
That's Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Okay.
Yes, Cerie, there are stages. So that's what the social workers do, work through that with these.
And what are the people. What are the stages? And I wonder if this country is going through the stages of grief mm-hmm. and loss.
Well, at first it's sadness, and then it's anger, and anger almost has to happen because that's where you draw your strength. And then there's bargaining, if I'm getting this right. And then there's acceptance. Mm. And, you know, you can get stuck in any one of those stages for any period of time, or you can move through them, you know, not easily, never easily, but, mm-mm. you know. And this is what these two social workers do with the people that come to the bereavement group.
Where were you on this day 11 years ago?
I was hoping you'd ask me that, because I probably was at a very different place than most of the people around here. I'm from a small town outside of Chicago, and I happened to have gone home to visit my parents. They were elderly at the time, and I was just home for a long weekend, and I was packing my suitcase because I had a flight out of Chicago that afternoon, and I walked through the family room where my elderly father was sitting, and I saw the Twin Towers on fire, and my father just sat there, oh my God, what's going on? And I was there for a week after that because I couldn't get a flight home, nor did I really want to leave, because I went out to my parents' back porch, and my parents' home backs to a cornfield. I mean, this is a small rural town. And I sat back on their patio, and I looked out at that cornfield, and I thought, I have never felt safer.
Oh, do you have other family as well?
Yes, I come from a family of six children.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And was your first instinct, we were just talking to Mark Epley, and his first instinct was, you know, where's my family? I got to find my family and see how they are. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
It didn't matter where they were. He just wanted to know where they were.
Exactly, yes. And I thought the same thing, but I knew where they all were. So,
yeah.
And none of them were in New York City, so...
Oh. So you were blessed in that sense, yes.
Yes.
You didn't know did you know anyone personally who lost their lives there?
No, I didn't. Well, no, I didn't really. I know my daughter had a classmate that was actually a couple years older than her that was in the 9/11 and lost his life.
But you felt safe looking at that cornfield.
Oh, I mean, this is rural Illinois. I felt very safe.
Mm-hmm. What was it about it that made you feel so safe?
Well, you know, you feel protected in a small town. Not that they don't have things that happen, but I thought, no one's going to want to come and bomb this little tiny town or run their plane into the, you know, city hall or anything like that, because it's so rural.
Do you think we're all still in shock over this?
Well, I think it's like death. It's very difficult those first few years, and it's something you never forget, but it becomes a little less painful as the years pass, but it'll always be something that you feel very hurt about and very sad about.
Mm. And as we mentioned, anger mm-hmm. certainly is a big part of this mm-hmm. too, and that's a part of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Back to the bereavement group series. It actually begins the second wave of it mm-hmm. tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night at 5:30 at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And is it an hour? Couple.
It's 5:30 to 7:00, and people can come to the very first one and go through the whole 6 weeks, and it'll go beyond 6 weeks, but the 6 weeks is what we have planned. And if they can't make it to the first session, it doesn't mean they have to wait till the next 6 week session starts. They can come and they can go. And apparently from the last session, the social workers said they became very connected to one another. They didn't want the group to end. And you do. You have that support that you need.
That bond.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, comparing that now to the rest of the country, I think we're feeling a bond today mm-hmm. in our grief, right? In our remembrance. Is this sort of a bereavement group for us nationally, what we're experiencing today and seeing on television and the ceremony in Manhattan?
Yes, and you could look at it that way, sure. Mm-hmm. Because you know that everyone is heavy-hearted today, and you can talk to your colleagues, your friends, and everybody is feeling the same way.
Same way, mm-hmm. yeah. And that's what a bereavement group does. Mm-hmm. It allows for that, right? That
right.
connection.
It allows for the expression of sadness and hurt and loss.
And you don't have to feel embarrassed.
No. And then you have the experts that tell you it's okay to feel that way. Because sometimes you need your feelings validated. Because you think, you know, I shouldn't still be sad about this. Why do I feel this way?
Yeah, and I mean, it's 11 years later. Why do mm-hmm. we still feel sad? Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
big time we feel
yeah,
sad.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it starts tomorrow night, and it's held in the wellness center, the hospital, right?
Yes, it's held in the classroom of the wellness center in the hospital, which is up on the third floor.
And I have not seen the wellness center yet.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is, yeah.
It's beautiful,
Marcia
yes.
Kenny is here as well, representing the hospital, and she said, oh, you got to see it. So how is it? What does it look like? How is it designed?
Well, it's just very
colorful,
comforting.
Or comforting?
Well, it's very calming colors, like green and like beige and just very earthy, comforting colors. And it looks like a wellness center, you know.
And you offer a wide range mm-hmm. of classes, right, and different programs?
Right. We have a lot of classes like yoga and tai chi and meditation, Pilates. What else do we have?
The bereavement group. And
massage therapy. And Reiki and acupuncture.
I think this whole country could use a big, massive massage, don't you think, right?
Oh, really?
You
and
know?
We have some very, very good massage therapists, oh, I have to say.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Now, as a registered nurse, do you treat yourself as well?
I go every other week.
Good for you. I think it should be a requirement, and for social workers,
mm-hmm,
too,
mm-hmm.
you know? Bereavement group, begins tomorrow night, 5:30 to 7, at the Wellness Center of Southampton Hospital,
mm-hmm.
and will be, again, done by two social workers. And their names, again?
Amy Zachary and Paula Peterson.
And is this open? Is it unlimited?
Anyone can go.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be someone who just had a loss. If you lost someone a few years ago and you still feel like you need to work through it, it's open to anyone who's suffered a loss.
And how about for those who suffered from 9/11?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see if anyone comes who
right.
is feeling that.
Right.
You know,
I've had the people that are coming that I know of RSVP to me, but I don't ask what
no.
their loss is. I just let them know when it starts and they plan on coming. So.
And people can find out more. It's the best way, the website or to call?
Calling me is the best because I can give them the details and answer their questions. And my number directly is 726-3200. And it really is my number, even though it seems like it might be a main line. But that is my phone number.
726-3200 for Jane Edelman.
Correct.
And she's coordinating this second series of bereavement to group tomorrow night from 5:30 to 7. It begins and every Wednesday night. Jane and Marcia as well, thank you both for coming in. And, you know, I wish you a memorable day in whatever way that is.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming
thank
in.
You,
thanks, Marcia. And you're listening to a special edition of Conversations at the Cafe, WPPB in Southampton, New York. We are Peconic Public Broadcasting.
Maroon, yellow, blue, golden, gray. The drunks will ricochet. The old buildings downtown, empty so long ago. Windows broken and dreaming. So happy to leave what was my home. With the sky blue sky, this rotten time wouldn't seem so bad to me now. Oh, I didn't die, I should be satisfied. I survived, it's good enough for now. Thank you.
sky. This rotten time wouldn't seem so bad to me now. Oh, if I didn't die, I should be satisfied. I survived. It's good enough for now.